That must be mine. Okay. So Johnny asked me back here, he saw my ratty, tattered old Bible, and he said, "No tablet today?" I said, "Well, it's kind of MIA right now. The hustle and the bustle of Christmas. I don't know where my tablet ended up at." He said, "Under the couch." There is a slight possibility of that now. So last week I shared a message that was meant to start establishing a foundation. And I'm going to keep preaching on the subject as long as God wants me to, okay? And it was called Face to Face. Today I'm going to share something about that message that I thought I was going to put off till later. And I just feel the Holy Spirit's telling me to do it now. But, you know, last week we talked about how Jesus, the Word, we read in John 1, where in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. I skipped a few verses. But Jesus is now got a flesh and blood body. It's glorified, but he has a glorified flesh and blood body. He became natural man, just like we are. But he is the Son of God. He doesn't have an earthly father. He's even more so than Adam. Adam got life breathed into him. So in all that, the one thing that that really caught my attention a while back in a book I was reading was talking about putting off the old man, the carnal man. So if you open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4, if you don't, look up here. "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind." Remember, Gentiles were anybody that weren't Jews. It didn't mean, first off, that they didn't trust God, because anybody that says that evidently doesn't know their Bible. Because guess what? Job was a Gentile. And God said, there's none like him on the planet. Paul is admonishing the Ephesians to not walk in the flesh, carnally, thinking about just what you think about in your flesh. What am I going to eat? What am I going to wear? Even Jesus kind of taught about that, didn't he? "Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as truth, the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind." Huh, renewed. Who else did he tell to be renewed? Maybe the Romans, Romans 12:2. "Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." How do you get the renewing of your mind? You wash it by the water of the Word. It takes this to correct this. And not just looking at it and say, "Okay, well, it says here that if a woman does this, she's to die." Quit being a moron. Let's be real. The purpose of the law was to show man he cannot live by the carnality or the flesh, by rules. There's a speed limit, isn't there? How many of you have broken a speed limit? I've broken it quite a few times. I break it regularly, honestly. No cops, right? And they catch me. But yet we know it's a law. You can't do that. I did. I broke it. Sometimes I don't mean to. I've noticed that the older I've gotten, I've slowed down quite a bit. I'm like, I ain't in any hurry. I get in her car, she's driving, and I'm like, "Slow down! Oh, you're only doing 35. I'm sorry." A car and a truck, it's just not the same world, I'm telling you, man. So you got to be renewed in your mind. Not just by looking at the word and says, well, the Bible says that women should be put out of the camp. Well, you in a camp? Anybody living in a tent? All right, well, we scratched the camp part. We understand why God had that. Well, you have to be circumcised on the eighth day. Now, that's a whole other issue, but no, you don't even have to be circumcised. Peter tried teaching that, and Paul said, anybody that's teaching that, I wish they'd be cut off. I really would like to see that in the Greek. What it really got down nitty gritty, because y'all know what he's talking about. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in the righteousness and the holiness. Let me get back here. Whoops, too many clicks. Concerning your former conduct of the old man. I told you last week that I was going to tell you a little bit something, so hope you plan on fasting for a while today. The imagery Paul is trying to create here was one I told you that there's a society, I guess society is the word I'm looking for, before the Romans. He called the Etruscans. Did I say that right? They were about 200 years before Christ. It's when they finally just kind of, they were northwest Italy. Rome took a lot of what they did to heart and practice as they grew. But the Etruscans, they had a, I told Angela when I was learning on, I said, what is wrong with people? Why is it we torture people? They had a death sentence. When somebody was condemned to death, perfectly healthy, right? They would hang a rotting corpse. They would strap the rotting corpse face to face, hand to hand, shoulder to shoulder. It's got maggots. You've got a healthy, live body now carrying death. This is the image that Paul is creating for people to understand. See, we always thought that the Word of God was just so neutered. Now, we neutered it. Paul is trying to explain something here that was nasty. And what would happen is that person would carry that thing. And they kept them alive. They fed them so that they could stay alive and be tortured even more by the rotting, corrupt flesh. That's what the word corrupt means. You need to understand that. It means rotting. So when it talks about corrupt language, he's not talking about saying poo-poo. He's talking about language that does not bring life, period. Now, and what would happen is their body would be compressed up against this, and they strapped them so they couldn't get it off. And they left that person to walk around and eat with this corpse strapped to them until their healthy flesh looked just like the corpse. That it had the worms going through it. It looked like a zombie. They literally were zombies. They were praying to die. But they weren't allowed to die because they kept feeding them, giving them water. But when that happened, they would quit feeding them and let them die. I don't know how long it took. And I don't know if I've never found a name for this type of torture other than sick. That's just one of them. Where did we come up with this? Why do we come up with stuff to kill people, to destroy people? We got more ways to kill people than we do to fix people. And so Paul is trying to explain to us that our old man, putting off the old flesh, the corrupt, rotting flesh, was our natural mind. It's the way we think about things. Tithing makes absolutely no sense, and there's so many people right now trying to fight, well, tithing isn't law. It's not, oh, shut up. Tithing is a principle founded in the Garden of Eden, period. And guess what? It works. You can come up with what you want, but I'm here to tell you, it works. It puts God on your side. Read Malachi, please. Get in there and read it. And I'll rebuke the devourer for your sake, and your harvest will not die in the field, and your barns will overflow. You're saying, well, my barns ain't overflowing. How do you know? Remember, you're still only looking carnally. What about spiritually? The Bible says to lay up treasures up there, not here. We're all running around, oh, my bank account ain't overloaded. Were you not kind? Did you not show some kindness to somebody? Did you not tell somebody about Jesus? Every time you say, God bless you, you really know what you're saying? We say it out of a religious fear. Did you realize that? That sneezing, oh, God bless you. I don't have a demon coming out of me, just so you know. That's why they did that. They thought they were going to die. Oh, you're alive. Yay! But you tell people, God bless you. Wow. What powerful, powerful word, life-filled words. But yet we have an entire industry of people that seem to think that you need to throw God's name in front of the word damn. Do you know what that word means? It is death. That's what the word means. It means you just put God cursing something. Do you want to know why your car doesn't work? Because of that word right there that you threw at it half a dozen times. I learned that about my language, and I've never used that word. Explaining it like that's the closest I've ever come. That was a revelation I got. All the others, I used them. I made up a few when they didn't quite fit. But we had that car, that New Yorker, from day one that I ever started. She never had a bit of problems with it, but every time I drove it, something broke on it. Got a flat tire. Okay, go get the hubcap off. Oh, it's got locking hubcaps. You think we had the key? No. And I couldn't get to Mansfield to the only Chrysler dealership that had a key. Had to have somebody take me up to Mansfield, get it, come back. Half a day later, finally get it off. Oh, yeah, we're back on the road. 2 days later, the starter goes out on it. Herb, no problems. I cursed that car, and I'm telling you what, I rejoiced the day I traded it in. But I learned a lesson. I blessed the next one. I blessed that car. You're a good car. We had an alternator go out. Man, that car, it's fun, little Pontiac Grand Am. But anyhow, the old man, it grows corrupt more and more. That's why you're seeing what's happening in the world right now. Forget Islam. Just understand, Islam is definitely, in my opinion, a part of the Antichrist. Okay? Just think about that for 5 seconds. Christ, Isaac, Islam, Ishmael, Antichrist. But anyhow, don't want to get any hate mail. We spend our entire life trying to get things, not realizing that it's not about the things. It's about what we are learning about Jesus. What did I learn? I don't care if you get freed from 10 demons today from this. That's not my point. If you do, hallelujah, I'll rejoice with you. And if you got 10 demons in, you're sitting in here, raise your hand, and we'll deal with them right now. But only if you don't want to go back. If you're going to go back, I ain't touching you. My Bible says that those who do and they go back, they're worse off. They've been better off if they're just left alone. But anyhow, I'm digressing on that. The Bible tells us to put off that old man. Well, if we renew our minds, we get that spiritual mind, right? I was telling Angela this morning, I said, do you ever think about this? I said, in the beginning, God said, I'm going to destroy all flesh in Genesis 6, right? I'm destroying all flesh. All natural flesh, to include us and animals. Things that could survive in water were the only things that made it. But flesh, the natural man, save what was in the ark. And even then, sin went through. Everybody, I've heard preachers, oh, it was a whole new thing. There was nothing. Baloney. Where did the giants come from? We need to start understanding science works with the word. It's not opposing it. We now understand that it was in the genes. We don't know if Noah was carrying it or one of the wives. Somebody carried the gene through. But right off the boat, what happened? Noah gets drunk. That's what happens. Well, Pastor, I don't agree with you. I don't care what you don't agree with. Just shut up and listen. It's not a sin to have a drink. I said it. It is a sin to get drunk. And if you will have a problem stopping at the one, stay away from it. That's why I do it. I was born with the taste of whiskey on my lips. I was taught as a toddler. People thought it was cute, two, three-year-old, to come up and finish off people's beers. I had a higher alcohol tolerance than most adults. Finally, my mom and dad realized he's not just drinking those anymore. They left me a sip. I was just finishing their beers. They started putting their ashes out in them. So I could tell you what an ashtray tastes like. And trust me, it broke me. But when I became an adult, that taste, it came back. I wanted it. And I told God, it's got to be between you and me, and it's got to be real. And he took that. He delivered me from that. I don't drink for periodically. I may have a teeny tiny swig of wine if my stomach's upset. Usually fixes it. But that's because Paul told Timothy, well, don't you know, brother, there's grape juice, there's wine in it. No, wine was wine. Let's quit trying to split doctrines. That's what's wrong with the body of Christ. Well, you know, there's a laying on hand. You shouldn't raise your hands. You shouldn't. You know what? I don't pull how I worship from anything. Trust me, you don't want to worship the way that the Jews had to worship. And they didn't worship the way we worship. First off, all you women, get over there and shut up. And I'll take a step back. Because I know what happens. Every man in here knows what happens when you say, shut up. You just lit a fuse. And your head is the bomb and it's going to explode. But we have to get rid of it. So in the beginning, God saw what happened. He says, I'm sorry. I'm grieved. That's what it meant. It doesn't mean, oh, man, I am so sorry I created that art. What a jerk he is. No, he was grieved at what happened. That's what sorry means, sorrowful. That's why I tell you, when you go and tell me, oh, I'm so sorry, please just repent. Because you really are not sorry. And I had to scratch my head a few times. Then my brother, he heard the exact same thing in boot camp, in Army boot camp that I heard in Marine boot camp. Don't say you're sorry. You are not a sorry individual. Sorry means pathetic. Are you pathetic? No, you're not. Are you remorseful? Yes. Repent. And God was, his heart was broken at what was becoming to man. You need to understand, all creation was violated. It was violence. I personally believe that a lot of what we see in Narnia, the book, I think there was some backing for that. I'm not saying 110%, I'm sure, but I believe that things got crossed. Because the angels crossed with man. Man, I don't know for sure, ate meat. I can't say that he did. God said, here's all the flesh, or all the herbs and the apples and stuff. You have them. So at that point, we say no. But what happens when something comes out that's minimum of 14 feet tall and it's hungry? Fee, fi, fo, fum. I smell the blood of an Englishman. They started eating man. They started eating animals. They crossbred with animals. Demons are the angelic beings that created all this mess. It was a different world. It's not like what we've got now. I can't tell you how many societies are there, Joe, that you've even heard about that they had some sort of mythology that went back to the Greeks. They all had a story. Most of them have a story of the flood, too. And don't think it didn't happen, because in Leviticus it says that any woman who stands and has intercourse with an animal shall be put to death, and the animal shall be put to death. Why do you think they put that in there? Why do you think God... It's your Bible. Read it. It's in there. It's right around Leviticus 19, I believe. There was a reason God put all this stuff in, because so the world was so violent and awful. It was not what God had created at all. But it had gotten perverted by natural desires, lusts. We just can't be satisfied. We're hitting a point now where we can't seem to be satisfied. When's enough enough? I gotta have $10 billion now. But how much you got saved up? Oh, I don't have a savings account. I don't believe in it. God's just gonna give it to me. No, he ain't. So God sent a flood. The earth cracked apart. The wells of the earth opened up, and the water came up and the water came down. The continent of Eden was broken. And God flooded the earth. And at the end of it, he put a rainbow. He caused that rainbow to be seen. And he told Noah, this is my promise to you in all generations. I will not destroy the earth again by water. How do we die to the flesh? By water. By baptism. It's symbolic. That's why we do it. We die to our flesh. We're dying to that old corrupt man that is hanging on, that we are strapped to when we're baptized. Well, I got baptized. You need to go down again, please. First time I was baptized, I had no idea what it was. The second time, I had no idea. Third time, I had no idea. Later on, I had more of an idea. And I may do it again. I'm like, how do you crucify that thing? If I got to go jump in the creek every morning, bless God, that's what I'm going to have to do. Because Paul says mortify the flesh. Do you ever really realize how, what's the word, descriptive the Greek really was? Mortify the flesh. We just say kill it. It's a chintzy little word, goes everywhere, right? But mortify. Think just what I described here. How many of you ever thought of a dead corpse hanging on you? And that's what you're carrying around with your old man. You're carrying around your old self. You're looking yourself in the eye, but it's dead. The worms crawl in, the worms crawl out. And you got to look at it. And you can't get them away. Remember, your hands are strapped to their hands. You are strapped to it, and you can't fight it. Paul gave that description so that we would understand, so that they would understand. You cannot keep carrying that around with you. And so, Jesus comes. He dies to himself. long before, even I think technically it was before his ministry really started. He was baptized. And I'm not even for certain if anybody has ever actually knows where that began, because John the Baptist is the only one I know of that started it. Where did it come from? They just thought they were being washed of their sins, but it was actually a dying of our flesh and being resurrected in him, being resurrected, that new man, putting on the new man. How do we put that on? In the Word of God. Read it. I know we've got several in here who on a reading the Bible challenge in a year. Kudos. Keep rocking and rolling. Read the Word. Find you a, if there's a passage you read and it just like, okay, I got to put that down and sit and think about that. How many times did David say, Selah? He would say something, and Selah means sit down calmly, think about that for a moment. Think about what I just said. Think about the Word. The Holy Spirit, you have to be rejuvenated a spiritual man. This is where this whole line is going to be going, is to be rejuvenated as a spiritual being. Because guess what? This is not the only analogy of being face to face, mouth to mouth. In 2 Kings chapter 4, we read of a man named Elisha who gets an alarming message. And the woman says, my son has died, the one that you prayed for. He has died. Come. Elisha sends his servant Gehazi. He lays the staff on, does everything he's told to do. He comes back. He says, he didn't budge, boss. Elisha. Keep them straight. Elisha goes. He walks back and forth and he goes in. I always thought, this is weird. How many of you thought about this? This is a little weird, dude. You're laying on a dead boy. Bible says he laid mouth to mouth. He was face to face, hand to hand, leg to leg. He was laying right on top of that boy, a corpse. And Elisha, Elijah, woo! These are the days of Elijah. Y'all better be concerned about the days of Elijah. I'm here to tell you, Elijah's coming back. He's in the Bible, in Revelation. You want the days of Elijah? There was power in Elijah, but I'm telling you, there was more power, in my opinion, in Elisha. The Bible says he laid on him, and the boy's body began to warm up. He got up, walked, and went back and did it again. This time, the boy sneezed 7 times. He got up, called in, Mama, here's your son. The power of God. Elisha was such a spiritual man that the Spirit of God was in him so strong that it overpowered death. There was no ritual jumping around. He just laid on him. He was so powerful that death could not come the other way. But life went out of him. That's what we're called to be. Is so powerfully, spiritually strong. Well, Pastor, why am I here? Because you are called to be that. You're called to be that power. Not everybody can handle understanding that. And I'm not telling you go out and get goofy. You can ask my wife. I run things by her sometimes. I'm like, hear this out. Before I open my mouth and insert my foot. Because this was not the message I was teaching this morning. She said, honey, just make sure you're sharing the things that God wants you to share for them and not the things he's trying to show you. Because I was up at 4 o'clock this morning. So I'm going to halt right there on this. I will share one thing that I learned last week and after the service that I told you about when we die, the people have seen lights leave. I was informed last week that upon conception, there's a light at conception. God is light. God puts that spirit. We have got to start understanding he is a spirit. And those who want to please him must and worship. You truly want to worship him? Worship him in spirit and in truth. And sometimes, by the way, folks, the truth you think is the truth isn't the truth. I shared with her something this morning. I'm going to leave you with this. This is the third closing. We all know thou shalt not lie, right? How many know that's a lie? That's not the commandment. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy brother is the commandment. Because in 2 Kings chapter 6, the king of Syria sends the entire Syrian army to get Elisha. Servant goes out and he looks up. Those weren't there last night. Elisha, we got a problem. What? He said, look. Elisha comes out and they're surrounded by an army. Okay? Elisha just says, Lord, open his eyes. And God opened his servant's eyes and he saw an army behind that army, more powerful, more numerous. He didn't see it because he wasn't a spiritual man. He was only looking through the carnal eyes. You wonder why certain people aren't as wound up about things? They're not looking at it through natural eyes. First off, you better understand. When we say God's got this, you better stinking doggone trust that. Because if you don't, it's just a joke is all you're going to be. You know what? So he played. Here's the hilarious part. He prays for his servant's eyes to be opened. And then he says, Lord, blind them. I think it's funny. I just prayed for his eyes to be open and yours to be closed. Who were they there to get? They were there to get Elisha, right? Some of you know the story. He goes up and says, why are you here? Well, we're here we're at such and such to get so and so. Oh, he's not here. And this isn't that town. They're there to get you. He just lied. He says, I'll take you. He leads them. They all follow. Can you imagine these hardened warriors stand up? Okay, keep walking. An entire army walking like that. They look like little children. And he leads them. He says, all right, Lord, open their eyes. And they're in the middle of Samaria. Surrounded by the Israeli army. The king says, Father, shall I smite them? Carnal man. Carnal man. He said, no. You will treat them as any POW. You will feed them, you will clothe them, and you will send them on their way. As a military leader, you don't want to do that. But his lie did not bring about harm. It brought about a revelation to Syria. I've told you before, somebody breaks in my house and I've got my family safely away that they can't be found. Kill me or tell me where your family is. I'm going to send you on a wild goose chase like you ain't ever been on, Hoss. I'll go with you if I have to, but I'm going to lie like my dog lies all day long. I'm not telling you. Well, that's not the truth. I've got to tell the truth. That is not the truth. You just sold your family out for yourself. That's the truth. They're going to kill you anyhow, and them, but they're going to kill them in front of you. But what Elisha did changed things. Totally different deal. But so think about, put that in your pipe and smoke it for a while. Because, yeah, Selah. All right, stand. Maybe four closings. Please, 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 please be praying for your leaders. We are in a tumultuous time. I know you're probably seeing some of the news. You're probably hearing some of the news. Minnesota is a mess. Dearborn is a mess. And if y'all think, well, that's Michigan, understand, that's under 2.5 hours away from us. And there's a big old mosque in Toledo. And while we've been asleep, the forces of evil have been sneaking around building temples to demons all around us. There's a big old temple down by Alum Creek, Hindu temple. They worship demons. The property up off of 61, some sort of Hindu retreat now. Understand something. We got to start praying. We got to start really believing. You're about to get your faith tested. As Captain Barbosa says, oh, you don't believe in ghost stories? Well, you better believe now because you're in one. This is Book of Revelation starting to open up to us. Many church leaders have actually said, and some of them are related, have well-known, well-versed with Islam. Some of the markings that John would have seen are actually jihadist markings. The number 666 combined, there's an African jihadist movement that wears that on their headbands. Right on the forehead. I think that's in Revelation somewhere, isn't it? You wear our mark or you die. And we say, come quickly, Lord Jesus. But we need to pray for these people here. That when he comes, I'd rather just leave the planet empty. The devil doesn't get anything. The enemy doesn't get anything. But be praying for your government. Coming into a whole new year. January 1st really doesn't change diddly squat. But yet it somehow does. So pray. Because you know there's going to be more challenges. Amen. All right. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you and I praise you. Father, I thank you for moving. I thank you, Lord God, for what you're doing right now in all your people. Starting right here in Morrow County, Lord God. I call hearts on fire. Father, no fake. Real. People who love you. People who know how to pray. People who can see the spiritual things going on. Not just, that's interesting. But to understand that demonic power's moving in. Lord God, there's too much in this county alone that cries out. We built this city on the word of God. The fact that it is Mount Gilead. Father, that the townships are called Canaan. Harmony. Father, that the oldest building in this town was the first church. Lord God, we refuse to give it up to the powers of darkness. Father, I pray right now for every pastor in this county and everybody, every county that touches us, Lord God, for strength, for wisdom, for insight into what's going on. Father, may we all for every layperson in their churches. Lord, for a new fire. Going into this new year, Father, the revelation of the garbage that they're carrying around, Lord God, they need to let it go. Now, Father, I bless your people today. I thank you, Father, that you're moving in their lives. Father, you're opening doors that the enemy has been standing in front of. Father, may he be kicked and hard. Father, I thank you that your peace will reign. In Jesus' name, amen.